Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you, TGIF. Glad to be here with you. It is Jake Volbrockton, TJ Cleland, coming at you for the next little while here on a Friday morning. We'll recap Thursday night football. It was a good one. We will get you ready for the weekend of football, high school football, college football, the NFL. It's all here for you on Sports Daily today. We'll bring in the full staff for picks in the next hour. Which reminds me, I need to send you guys the games to pick. So it's been a big mystery. Not a lot of study time for the picks. We had a great Thursday night football game. We'll recap that as well. Get to the latest on Josh Simmons. Tortilla Gate takes another turn. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Smash a Yumkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East's newly remodeled patio. Or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. How are you this morning, TJ?
I can smell the coffee brewing from upstairs. Got up early enough to get it going. We're not panicking last minute like we have been this week. So going to have that ready for the second segment, ready to fire up. That means it's going to be an energetic show. But, I think we lead off the show with the question that we've been asking for the last 15 years. Is Joe Flacco elite?
Yeah, he looked good last night. Aaron Rodgers threw a couple of picks, but I thought also looked good last night. Physically and everything else, just a couple of old dudes slinging it around on a Thursday
night.
Huge
for you. Must have been awesome for your ego.
Yeah, still got it. Those guys are both about my age.
Look, honey, that guy's older than me and he's still doing it.
Yeah, it's feeling good. 33-31. The Bengals take down the Steelers. Our guy PJ Glasser all over that one yesterday. If you followed his advice, which was take the Bengals on the money line. I did on a bet and it paid off and it was nice. I broke my own rule. I'd been on a heater with primetime games. And that is on first touchdowns, you bet either a quarterback running or a tight end. And I'm talking heater with that. And I was blinded by my need, I think, for DK Metcalf to have a big game, for fantasy. And I put him in there and I was on the right team and it would have been Jonnu Smith. I should have stayed, stuck to my guns, TJ. I'm telling you, Thursday nights, Monday nights, Sunday nights, if it's a primetime game, it's quarterbacks running, it's tight ends. We've seen that just recently in the games I remember on this little heater. It went Bo Nix, Jake Tongis, Travis Kelce, Dallas Goedert had one. Last Thursday, and then last night, Jonnu Smith and Caleb Williams, which I told you about Monday night, paid fruitfully. It's a thing. It's a thing. I didn't do it last night, and I'm mad at myself.
I think that you've got some room to wiggle around and get a couple wrong after Caleb Williams helped you out.
Well, I got Nix, I got Kelce, I got Caleb Williams, I got all those. And, yeah. You know, the ESPN betting site lets you get half your back, so I max bet those to get that back. And they've been, it's paid for the whole season. I'm up for the year because of those bets. And I'm so annoyed that I didn't follow my own rule on them last night.
Yeah, Albrecht family's been eating the Chesters.
We have not. Thanks to Prayer Fry Coffee. Speaking of TJ's coffee, for keeping us fueled up this morning. You know, they make this simple thing most coffee makers made in the last, 30 years, TJ, where you can set that up the night before and it'll just make itself and it's ready to go by the time you wake up. I don't know what's holding you back on that.
One day I'm going to figure out these technological advances, but I think there's just something about having to pour those grinds in there. Also the fact that I get home at like 11:30. I don't know if I really want to mess with that.
I do it before I go to TV the day before, typically.
So it sits like in there for 14 hours.
Yeah, I have that sucker set up and ready to go. What's it hurting? There's no difference. There's nothing.
That's true.
Coffee grounds are in there. The water's in there. And then I wake up and, man, it makes me mad if I forget to do it. Set an alarm. You know, live your life like an old guy. Have 86 reminders a day.
By the time I'm a retired old man that likes to just sit on the porch and drink my coffee, I'll have that figured out.
By that time, you'll have the time to just brew it right there on the spot. This is a young man's game. The young man gets that stuff brewed and ready to go so you don't have to mess with it in the morning. The old man move is to wake up and brew it. You're trying to kill time at that point. You need the 30 minutes of brewing that coffee. Again, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. 35 by 70, it's a Friday fit. I've got the Buffalo Rome on today. If you like this one, this is one of my favorites because my college alma mater is the Buffalo and my college color is maroon. But they've got all kinds of designs for you at 35by70golfco.com. I've got the fall seasonal stuff up there as well. If you would like to take a look and if you see anything you like, you can enter the promo code Jacob, get 10% off. Thanks to them for being a part of a Friday. We'll have the crew in. I think Brandon's going to be able to make it, but we'll see. Savage, Tommy should be in. We'll make our picks. We'll get you through 3 college games, 3 pro games, and have some fun that way. And then, of course, we'll get a Friday football preview as well. The second hour is always jam-packed with all of those things, but we do have a couple other things. We'll dig in a little deeper to Thursday Night Football. We'll get you the latest on Josh Simmons and Tortillagate. Took another turn. And set the table there, TJ, and we'll spend time with it a little bit later, but just so people can start thinking about it now. The latest, this came, late yesterday? We had another development in the tortilla throwing situation down there in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he said that the Kirby Hoka, I think it's Hoka, I don't know if I'm saying that right, athletic director at Texas Tech, did a Zoom call, I think with like the student body, like did a Zoom call with them and let them know what's going on, and said that the Big 12 reached out to every school across the conference and said that any objects thrown on the field, not just tortillas, any school at all, if you throw a water bottle, this counts towards something. The first time that something hits the playing surface, not even the sidelines, not even the field, which is what it originally was, they changed it to all of anything that is the grass or the turf. If something hits that, there must be a warning over the PA to not do it again. And then if it happens again, it's a 15-yard penalty and then a $100,000 fine every single time.
Every single time or every single tortilla?
Every offense. Every time they have to stop and give a penalty, I guess. I would imagine, but I don't know.
Each singular tortilla is not worth.
I mean, if they come at different times, they are.
Well, but I mean, like if 10 get thrown on at once, it's not.
I'd say every flag is worth $100,000.
Okay. All right. So stew on that a little bit.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to dig into that.
We're gonna start there next. So stew on that for a second, everybody. Think about it, because when we come back,
we've got the short segment here. But we're talking about your polo here. I don't know if you watched the Catch a Kansas show last night. We got a minute to hash this out, but we had Wichita Southeast versus Garden City, Buffalo versus Buffalo, and I said the battle of the state animal, and then somebody's like, I think the state animal is a bison. Is that the same thing?
You know, this is a good question. I would say yes.
I think a bison is the American equivalent of a buffalo.
They're not the same. The American bison are called buffalo. They are distinct animals, according to Google. Distinct animals from the true buffalo, which include the African buffalo and Asian water buffalo. Bison are native to North America and Europe. They have a shoulder hump and the large. So what we're thinking of when we say buffalo is indeed a bison.
I knew it.
Go West Texas A&M Buffaloes. Go Buffs. And go for the Buffalo Roam, 35x70 golf course. We'll come back. We'll talk about the latest with these tortillas. It's all Brockton, Cleveland. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Thanks to Crestview Country Club for supporting us here on Sports Daily at KFH. We appreciate it. It is time to play a little fall golf. Hit them in the fairways so you don't have to search in the leaves. Not as many trees out at Crestview. If you haven't played it in a while, it's playing a lot differently since the storm rolled through this summer and they had to lose some of those trees. So get out there to Crestview. Ask them about the different memberships. They've got all kinds of things if you like to golf a lot, if you like to golf a little bit. If you don't like to golf at all, there are still memberships that could benefit you and the family, just like it does to ours. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. And again, thanks to them for being a part of the program. All right, TJ, the tortillas. So they're going to ramp it up. They're doubling down here. The Big 12 is on Texas Tech. They're amplifying the fines and they're threatening more penalties. I don't know what anybody thinks punishing the school is going to accomplish.
It's tough.
What is Texas Tech supposed to do? We get it, Big 12. We get it. You don't want this to happen anymore. That's great. What is Texas Tech supposed to do to stop this? Why is the football team being punished for this? Like, to me, this is getting to a point of ridiculousness. They're going to end up like you're a league punishing itself if you cost your what appears to be best team right now a game because its fans are doing something that you don't like. What does that have anything to do with the players? What does it have anything to do with sending your best representative? Like, we're getting to the point where this is self-sabotaging. Like, what do you think Texas Tech's going to do? They don't want them to throw them right now either.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is like, it's such a slippery slope at this point because the obvious argument that comes about from this is, I think that like Reddit College Football, the funny account on Twitter, said something about, hey, Oklahoma State fans, if you've got the courage, you can pull off that upset. Stash in the tortillas, just rack up those first downs.
100%. Yes.
So it's like, how do you know who's throwing the tortillas? It's the question that's always been down whenever you start penalizing teams for fans, or it's like if a fan at a high school basketball game starts mother effing a ref, and it's like, well, you got to give a technical to somebody, but like, how do you know who that guy was a fan of? It's like, how do you know who the tortilla thrower is rooting
right
for?
If you're the opposition right now, you go buy a Texas Tech shirt, you put that on, and you go start launching tortillas. I mean, yeah. Honestly, seriously, these are college kids. You don't think they're going to do that?
I don't know. I mean, there needs to be, yeah, they 100% will do it. There needs to be something about, I don't know, about like a mass throwing. Like, I feel like if it's a singular throw of a tortilla, like you can point out probably who the guy was that threw it and then just like, whatever, detain that guy for what, if that's what you want to do. Like, but like, it feels, I don't know, like it feels like it's a bit much. Like, I don't really know how you enforce this.
The fact that it's
$100,000 is also insane. And the other part of this as well is that this isn't a Texas Tech exclusive rule. This is a Big 12 conference across everybody, which obviously it's because of Texas Tech. But nothing's stopping this from happening at the Sunflower Showdown next
week. Now you're getting into an area where if you're the opposition, you're like, hey, why don't we go start throwing tortillas on the field? Like, we know tortilla is not going to hurt anybody. We know they've been doing that forever. It's harmless. Let's go do that and get somebody in trouble.
You see how petty the KU-K-State rivalry is. What's stopping a K-Stater from saying, you know what? Screw those Jayhawks. We're going to make them pay $100,000.
Nothing is because dumb people make young people make dumb decisions. And young people will always make dumb decisions, just like I made dumb decisions when I was younger. You did. Most people did. Like, we all don't understand consequence, and we'd be totally willing to, you know, high five your buddies after the game if you got in, especially now in the social media world. Like, come on. Like, you're inviting this to be a bigger deal than it needs to be. Austin weighs in. I don't know if there's a right answer here, honestly. Just let it go might be the best. That was the best original answer. Just why did we need to make this a big deal? It was not a big deal. They've been doing this for 30 years, and it is not a big deal. Most people don't even know it's been happening for the last 30 years until they came in and said, you can't do that anymore, and now it's a big deal. And it's ridiculous. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? They're just going to stop? And like you said, nobody's going to take advantage of this? My goodness.
Yeah. It's such a weird argument because I think you're exactly right. Rick weighs in here with his usual stop making excuses for college kids. They shouldn't throw anything on the field. We agree. I mean, I agree.
I don't think they should throw anything on the field either, but I'm not naive fact that they're gonna.
Yeah, it's the fact that there's just no way of enforcing this. It's the same argument of like, K-State, like we've said every single day on this show, it's the same thing as K-State trying to stop the FKU chants. It's people trying to stop a court storming. Like, you can't do it. Like, whenever there's 60,000 people, 50,000 people, you can't stop everybody. And that's the hardest part about this is strength in numbers, is that, yeah, Texas Tech doesn't even want the tortillas on the field. They've released the video saying, please, don't do this. And they can't stop them. And so at that point, you're just going to have to start putting police officers in the student section and have eyes on tortillas and then start detaining college kids for throwing a tortilla or something. And it sounds absurd.
And that's what you want at a college football app.
Yeah, that's the real environment you want there.
I mean, imagine, like, think about it. Like, we've officer. Made goalposts in some places easier to bring down because we know they're coming down. So let's make sure nobody gets hurt, right? Let's make them easy to just lay down.
KU's new stadium has like hydraulics to where the game ends. They just lower the goalposts, and so that way they can't take them down. They're already down.
Yeah, like what we. I don't know. I mean, you can help it. You can probably search every single person that comes in, which they might already do, and not allow any to come in. But again, you're going to find a way. You're going to start doing cavity searches.
I was going to say, how do you find a tortilla? They're not metal. Like, if I let's play a game. Next time you take a flight, let's shove a tortilla in our pocket and see if TSA catches our tortillas.
They'll catch you. That TSA will catch you because they have X-ray machines.
Yeah, but that's what we need. We just need X-ray machines.
In stadium security is not going to catch you if you put a tortilla in your underwear. Right, like they're not like they're, that's easy. Like that's an easy one. None of this is necessary. You can weigh in. We appreciate the comments there on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can also reach out to us directly on social media. You can call us 869-1240. Max has the hotline manned for you. But it's like, again, this has never been a thing. When was the last time we ever talked about this? And I'm not talking about us specifically. I'm talking about, like, generally speaking, as observers of the Big 12, most of us for our entire lives or most of our lives, most people didn't even know tortillas were thrown sometimes at a Texas Tech football game. Why? Because it's not that big a deal. It's just a silly thing that happens. And then you come in and then you try to make it a big deal. And then it becomes a bigger deal, and now it's an even bigger deal, and we have a pocket knife thing happening, and now we have bigger fines, and we have a team that's a great team that is getting punished for something it has absolutely nothing to do with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do, because I agree. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, it's not, I don't know. Like, it's a tradition, but honestly, it's, like, not really cool to be throwing things onto the field because, like, I don't know. There's no way to enforce
it. That's not going to stop people. Of course, it's not cool. The second they said it's going to penalize the team, the fans, like the fans that want to see Texas Tech really succeed, that's it. Like, we're done. Like, that, well, yeah, that's stupid. We're not going to do that. We don't want to get the team punished for it. But that's not 100% of the fans, and you only need 5% to be a problem.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. They really left a slippery slope here and not made it something about, like, if there is enough thrown to have to stop play, then it's $100,000. Like, like if one guy goes in there and starts throwing things, like, are you going to fine Texas Tech because of drunk Jimmy throwing tortillas onto the field? Like, it's crazy.
Mark my words. This will be abused by the opposition somehow. How many home games does Texas Tech even have left? Probably not many, thankfully, because somebody will try to take advantage of this. Maybe they don't have enough games that it'll happen this year. They still have three home games. They're home October 25th. They're home November 8th, and that's a huge game against BYU.
BYU, yeah.
And then they're home against UCF on November 15th. Somewhere in there, that is the next evolution of this thing, is that somebody that doesn't want Texas Tech to do well is going to start throwing tortillas. Rick says, how do they have nothing to do when they've allowed it for 30 years? I'm not sure I understand that one, Rick. I don't understand that question. So it's something that, again, we've watched and done forever. It's never been a problem until the Big 12 said you can't do this anymore, and now all of a sudden it's a problem. And
my favorite post yesterday was, I love the sport of college football so much. Kurt Cignetti just got a deal for $88 million. And in a different conference, the Big 12 is putting out legislation about throwing tortillas.
Yeah, it's
that's crazy. And now it's just like we've been saying, like it, I don't know if it lit a fire, but like, I think it's going to calm it down. Like, this is definitely going to calm it down. But I think that like, there's going to be the group of, you know, frat bros, they're going to say, screw Brett Yormark. We're going to throw tortillas anyways.
Oh, Rick says, I said it's not Texas Tech fault. It's not Texas Tech's fault because it's been a tradition that nobody had a problem with for 30 years. And then all of a sudden somebody says, you can't do this anymore. And Texas Tech's trying to say, okay, fans, you can't do this anymore. And they're doing it anyway. What is Texas Tech supposed to do? Right? It's only a problem because the Big 12 said you can't do it anymore. It wasn't a problem for the 29 years prior when they've done it. Nobody cared. Most people didn't even know they did it. It was just a silly, fun thing that happened. It wasn't a problem. It's not a problem. Nobody's getting hurt. Like, it takes no time for them to get them cleaned up. Like, you probably didn't know it happened because it was done and gone during a commercial break after a touchdown. Like it's just not a big deal until they make it a big deal. And this is did you ever watch Porky's or any comedy that involved college ever? Like, this stereotype in this story is as old as time. College kids have fun. Stuffy administrator steps in for some reason and tries to limit said fun. And the reaction to it is far worse than it was before.
This is
every college comedy has used that baseline forever. It's like AI and sci-fi. We know how that story goes. We've seen it a million times. They're going to go bad and turn against us. Like, we know what's happening, and we're just going to let it happen anyway. This is the same thing. Like, college administrators or whoever, this time it's the Big 12, steps in to young people having fun, says you can't do that anymore, and the reaction to it is far worse than the behavior to begin with. Like, that's why from the beginning with this, I've been shaking my head saying, like, why are we doing this? This is stupid. This is not going to end well. There's no outcome here that's reasonable, that's going to be good. Like, they're not going to just stop doing the thing that they've been doing forever. Kids that have been going to Texas Tech football games have been waiting their whole lives to become students there so that they can throw a tortilla at a football game. It's a tradition. It is what it is. It might be a dumb tradition. I don't care about it. It means nothing to me. But now it's a story when it didn't need to be a story to begin with.
I expect there will still be opening kickoff. They're still going to throw them. They're just going to take the warning, and then they're just going to stop. But I don't think everybody's going
to
stop.
You almost have to have the buffer warning built in. You need the buffer warning.
I don't know. Maybe there's legislature. It's like, what if we do this pregame? Like, is this count as a penalty if it's pregame?
That's true.
It's like we won the coin toss. Tortillas.
Or post game.
Yeah.
Like, at the very end of the game with a win, let it rain, because they can't penalize you at that point.
Yeah. That's ingenuity. We need to call Kirby.
Now, this is what a smart college administrator would do. Would be, okay, listen, guys, we're going to stick it to the man, but we got to do it in a way that doesn't hurt the team. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give everybody in the stadium at the, 2 minute mark of the fourth quarter, we're going to pass out tortillas. And when that game ends, if we win, we want to see 60,000 tortillas on the field. Okay. That's how you get out ahead of this and you flip the narrative. They can't penalize us if it's after the game. We get a warning. At the end of the game, if we win, tortillas on us. We want everybody to let them fly. Like, that, honestly, like, that's a great solution if you're Texas Tech.
That would actually be awesome. I can't
tortilla
lie.
Night, right? Like, we'll buy them. We're supplying the tortillas. All you got to do is show up. If we win, we're going to pass them out. You guys let them rip. But just let it rain tortillas. And that'd
be awesome. Speaking of promotional night, I don't know if you saw this. We'll segue really quick. Oklahoma State. Did you see the stuff last week about the shirtless dudes?
No.
Oh, you got to look this up. There was I don't even know what the score was of the game. Nobody was caring anymore. There was like two random college dudes that just went up to an empty section because there was nobody at that game. Empty section of the stands, took their shirts off, started waving them like towels. And then slowly, by like one by one, just guys started to go up there saying, hell yeah, like I'm taking my shirt off too. It turned into like 1,000 college kids with their shirts off, waving them around like towels. It is awesome.
So here's what I have personal anecdote on this. We were at Texas Rangers game one time, and I don't know why. I do know why. We had too many beers. But it was like a billion degrees before the new ballpark. Like if you went in the summertime, it was like a billion degrees. So we just decided that we were going to take our shirts off and do that very thing, wave them around. And I'm not kidding. By the end of it, there were old men next to us with shirts off, young kids. Like it was like this fun, cool trip. I have pictures of it. It was awesome. And then the next day, one of my cousins had like a suite. And so we were up there. We do it again and again. So I get it. That's what a fun thing. And then they're doing you mentioned a promo. It looks like the first 10,000 fans have a no shirt giveaway.
Yeah. First 10,000 show up. Don't get a shirt.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I love it. I love that very, very much. Thursday night football. Last night, and it was the two old guys, two long-toothed quarterbacks, TJ, getting it done, 33-31, the Bengals over the Steelers. Couple trends continue. The overs on Thursday Night Football have been good all year long. I told you about the first touchdown thing. It has been wild. Watch it. I mean, you don't have to bet it, but just watch it. And then we get the Bengals, and we didn't know how Flacco was going to fit in there. But the reality is they have a bad offensive line, but really good weapons. And Flacco has shown, even in his older age, that he can still be a gunslinger. And he threw it almost 50 times last night for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did the right thing. He fed Ja'Marr Chase. He fed T. Higgins. And he just utilized his star players to go out and make plays. And somehow he's finding enough time behind that line to get it done. I thought that was a huge win, because now you're getting back to the case with the Bengals where, TJ, they have a chance. If they can just survive until Burrow gets back, they get the Jets at home. They get the Bears at home. And then a bye week. Those are winnable games, I think, if Flacco plays that way. All of a sudden, they're 5-4 going into the bye. We're looking at a situation where maybe they could keep their season alive. Now, after the bye week, their schedule gets pretty tough. But the Bengals, I mean, that was a team that I thought could contend until Burrow went down. So this is an interesting development now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree. I think they looked really good. This is a game that, you know, probably should have been chalked up as a loss against a Steelers team that I think was the 2 seed in the AFC going into last night. And so that's a tough matchup to go with. You don't have a quarterback. You don't know what you're going to get in Joe Burrow. Coming off 4 straight losses as well. I didn't even realize they had 4 straight losses. So that's a big, big booster for this team that, you know, there was 2-0, then went to 2-4, just like that. And so to climb back out of that, if they can get 2 wins here, that makes them over 500. That'd be 5-4. So if you could be over 500 whenever you get Joe Burrow back, with the way that they started, whenever they looked like terrible without him, it'd be really big. I think that they could sneak in. When's Burrow coming back? Do we know?
I believe it was week 12 or something was the possibility, the chance. Look, and let's be real. Like, the Bengals defense also sucks. So it's not going to be easy, even if Flacco plays well. But it gives them a chance in what feels like a wide open year in the AFC. And it gives them a chance in a division where at some point Lamar Jackson will come back. They're kind of in the... You know, they're a lighter version, let's say, of what the Bengals are, because they should get Jackson back sooner. But another team that's very talented with a bad defense missing its quarterback. But the Browns, you just showed you can beat the Steelers, although that was close. And I think we'll get to the Steelers in just a second. But, I mean, why not? Like, why not them? They have so many talented players. But again, their defense is pretty bad. And I don't the reality is Joe Flacco may play great. The offense may rebound. And they were going to lose games with Joe Burrow because their defense sucks. So they're for sure probably – for sure probably. They're for sure going to lose games. At some point in this stretch, if he plays out of his mind, their defense will cost them games.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. It's an interesting team. I don't remember a time, maybe you could bring one up here, but I don't remember a time that they've had a team with this many star wide receivers and star weapons without a quarterback to throw to them. The 49ers have been banged up and everything like that. You can make that argument there, but I don't think that they had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, that's what's been so weird about this.
Well, nobody does. Nobody has that combo. That's the best combo. Chiefs wide receiver room is deeper, and maybe you could say the whole room is better, but nobody's 1-2 is better. Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, probably the next closest thing in L.A.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is that, you know, for fantasy purposes as well, you know, you look at Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and it's like, man, these guys are so good, but, like, who is going to throw them the ball? If they have somebody that's serviceable for the time being, like they're going to lose games because of their defense, they're going to win games because of their offense as well.
Sure.
Like, they're not going to have that streak going again. I think that having a guy that can throw the ball like that, you know, obviously Flacco's a better pass thrower than Jake Browning, evidently, so it's huge for that team.
Well, and that was a line from Flacco last night that looked a lot like Burrow, right? That was what a lot of Burrow games looked like last year. They're going to throw it 50 times a game because their defense isn't any good, and he's going to pile up the numbers. Congratulations to those that were able to get Joe Flacco. On the other side, Aaron Rodgers, he had the two picks. I think that he looks good, though. I think he's doing a really nice job. Like, if you're a Steelers fan, and you're thinking about Aaron Rodgers, this is going better than anybody could have hoped for. They lost that game last night because of their defense. The one thing I did not see coming with the Steelers was that they wouldn't play good defense. So as we were thinking about his fit in Pittsburgh, what was it, right? Well, can he just be better than Russell Wilson and complement that defense? Sure. Like, that was the narrative. And I had it too. That was the way I felt about it. Now it's become, can he be good enough to overcome a defense that's not very good? And I don't know why they're not very good. I think it lends itself to a conversation that needs to be had about these pass rushers and making them as they go all the way back to the offseason. It was Myles Garrett, and it was TJ Watt, and it was Max Crosby, and then it was Micah Parsons. And it's like, why? I've tried to have this conversation with people that say, well, you have to pay that guy. He's a star. And I'm like, he's a star, but you don't have to pay him like they're getting paid. Clearly. Like, all of these high-priced defensive ends that are just shattering each other's, like, give me a case where that's worked out well for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Packers, we'll see with Parsons. Because they're a good team. But in most of these cases, the highest paid edge rushers play for bad teams. And in a lot of situations, bad defenses. Now, the Browns aren't a bad defense with Myles Garrett. But if you look at the Steelers this year, they gave up 32 points to the Jets, 31 points to the Seahawks. They were better against New England in that win, but then 21 points to Minnesota, and then now this 31 points, like, they are far from the dominant defense we expected. And it's meant Aaron Rodgers has had to play better. And he is, man. I thought he looked good. I was with the kids at a drive-in movie trying to tune in and out of the game. So I missed the interceptions. I didn't see the interceptions, how bad they were, anything like that. But just watching him play the first half and everything, like, he was moving well. He's distributing the ball well. They've done a good job building the offense around him through tight ends and a guy like DK Metcalf who can run after the catch. Like, they've done a really good job there of designing this offense for him, and he looks good running it, and now they can't play defense. So I don't know what to make of the Steelers as a contender.
Yeah, they're a team that, you know, obviously has had all the quarterback struggles. That's the biggest thing about the Aaron Rodgers conversation is I don't know if Aaron Rodgers looks good, but Aaron Rodgers looks better than Russell Wilson.
I think he looks better than Kenny Pickett.
I mean, say what you will, but I'm just saying, in comparison to those guys, he looks awesome. Is my point.
Yeah.
They haven't had a good quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger.
He's had a quarterback rating above 96 in all but one game this year. He's got 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He's completing about real close to 70% of his passes. He's doing literally everything you would ask him to do. Like, he is for the expectation to bring Aaron Rodgers there, it has gone as well or better than anybody would have hoped for. And then they can't play defense. And it's like, wait, what? Because that was the thing, right? He was just trying to be a little better than Russell Wilson. That was the goal. Be a little better than Russell Wilson. Just give us a little more than Kenny Pickett has over the years, right? That's all we need. And he's been way better than that. But those guys had great defenses with them. If Pittsburgh could figure out their defense, I think that's the question to ask. If Pittsburgh gets it figured out defensively and gets back closer to the defense we've known over the last 5 or 6 years, with the way Rodgers is playing, are they a serious contender in the AFC? That's what I'm thinking about last night as I'm watching that game. And they lost the game to the Bengals and their defense let them down and all that stuff. That's fine. If they were to get back to that level defensively, because Mike Tomlin usually lives at that level defensively, with the way Rodgers is playing, would they be a serious contender in the AFC?
I mean, I don't think they're making an AFC championship, but I think it'll be a top five team, maybe.
I think.
Do you agree with that?
Let me say it two ways. One, I don't think their defense is going to improve that much. I don't think that's all of a sudden just going to happen. So it is a big if and a big hypothetical on that. But if, and I don't think they will, but if they did get back to that level defensively, I would not take them over the Chiefs. I would not take them over the Bills, but I would probably take them over the Colts. I would probably take them over the Broncos. But again, zero ifs. I don't think it's going to happen, so it doesn't really matter.
To
but it
fair,
is good to see.
To be fair,
I'm enjoying
about defense,
watching Rodgers play. Say it again.
Their points allowed. They're only eighth in the AFC. So there's eight teams worse than them in the AFC. Like, they've only allowed 140 points. And the Bengals have allowed 214. The Ravens have allowed 194. Like, they're right there with the Bills at 137. So it's not like it's not the Ravens defense right now. Like, it's not
overcoming
them now.
They've had the luxury of playing the Jets, of the Vikings without their quarterback, of the Browns. Like, when they have played good offenses, it's not been good. So, I mean, they're about to play the Packers. They're about to play the Colts, the Chargers, the Bengals again, the Bears, the Bills, the Ravens. With Lamar Jackson probably at that point. You're asking Aaron Rodgers now not to just be a little better than Russell Wilson and be efficient. You're asking Rodgers to be the old Aaron Rodgers, the MVP Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think he has that left in the tank. I think he's been exactly what they needed him to be. And their problem has been on the other side of the ball, which is stunning to me. I can't believe that it is, because they're just always there. They're always good defensively, and they just haven't been very good this year.
Yeah. On the Aaron Rodgers topic, have you seen his new celebration that he's been doing? Mario fist pump jump.
Oh, he's been doing that for a long time. He's had that one.
It's the classic old dude.
He's been doing that for a long time.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. It does remind me of Mario.
I always remember the discount double check.
Well, that was when.
I want a double check back. State Farm.
That was the
check.
Commercial. That commercial, it had its run for a few years. No, he's always had the arm up. I mean, I don't know how you look that up, but look up Packers Aaron Rodgers arm in the air, maybe. I don't know. He's done that. He's been a quarterback in the league almost your entire life. How does that make you feel?
Young?
As it should. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got another hour coming your way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.